Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. If you have open roles, chances are you're feeling this too. That's why you need Robert Half. Our specialized recruiting professionals engage with our proprietary AI to connect businesses of all sizes with highly skilled talent in finance and accounting, technology, marketing and creative, legal, and administrative and customer support. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
Teams, 5 World Cup spots, and 2 nail-biting match days to decide who goes to Qatar, a West African grudge match like no other, as Ghana and Nigeria lock horns, a shot at redemption for Cameroon and Algeria, and a repeat of this year's AFCON final as Egypt look for revenge over Senegal. I'm covering those, but I can't do it alone. I need the team. The team is back. Michael Lahou, Tosin McKinney, and Meyer Mizrahi, they are all here. The Qué Golazo final round of African World Cup qualifying preview begins right now. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Qué Golazo, youtube.com/ Qué Golazo, Qué Golazo pod on Twitter, CBS Sports, and your CBS Sports app. Well, Africa Cup of Nation was absolute chaos. It was beautiful, entertaining, and our preview delivered with these 3. We had to get them back because the World Cup qualifiers are no different. Let's first begin with Tosin McKinney, Nigerian Scans, our very own from CBS Sports Golazo. How are you, brother?
I'm nervous, but I'm great. How are you?
As a Peruvian, because we're taping on Thursday, I can relate, my friend. Welcome, obviously, Tosin, part of our CBS Sports family. Michael Lahoud, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm the total opposite of Tosin. I'm relaxed because my team, we just eat popcorn at home and enjoy these qualifiers.
That's true. All you need to do is just chill and sit back and relax. And it's great to have Meyer Mizrahi back. Meyer, I got to tell you, your coverage for the tournament back in January was absolutely fantastic. I really commend you, all the stuff you did for The Athletic. How are you, my friend?
Doing good, doing good. I'm kind of feeling the same as Tosin, a little less like Mike, but thank you for the kind words and looking forward to speaking about all the matches with y'all.
Love it, love it. So we got the 3, of course, and we'll be talking about all the games. You know the drill. This is definitely one of the toughest ways to try and get into the World Cup, primarily because really in many ways, you know, you make it to this point in the playoff scenario and you kind of deserve to be at the World Cup with everything that you've gone through the past few years, but that's not how it is. So we begin, of course, with the final that was in the Africa Cup of Nations. Meyer, I'm going to begin with you because obviously Egypt are looking for some revenge here. And Senegal was looking for some stats, my friend. And I was very impressed because after all the flair and glare, Sadio Mane, et cetera, it's really defensively where they look good. They were never behind in the tournament. So now they're looking again to fight this game. I remember Sadio Mane thinking, you know, we know what they're going to bring. They're going to be angry. How do you see this game as Egypt and Senegal face each other once again?
Look, in the final, Egypt felt hard done by because they had played 3 consecutive matches of 120 minutes. They went to extra time in all of their knockout matches. They were dealing with 2 or 3 injuries. The midfielder, Hamdi Fathi, and then one of their defenders, Mahmoud Hamdel Wench, the goalkeeper, Mohamed El-Chenawi, was out. Of course, they had their replacement goalkeeper, Gabeski, who was great in penalty shootouts. So they felt like they were more fatigued than Senegal. They dealt with more injuries in Senegal. And even their coach, Carlos Queiroz, was not available for the final. He had been suspended with a red card. This time around, they have way more resources. They're going to have 64,000 strong at the Cairo International Stadium, which can be one of the most intimidating atmospheres on the continent. And I think they're going to feel a little more confident that they can at least get a result at home. So I think Egypt is going to be a little more confident. And I'm a little bit wary that Senegal might be on a little bit of a hangover from finally winning that first AFCON. You saw what the party scenes looked like in Senegal. They were fantastic.
I'm not too worried about the Senegalese team because they have depth on their side. I hear what you're saying about the hangover. That's classic. And we see that so many times with crown champions from continental tournaments. But because they have depth and because they have so many players playing at the highest leagues and the highest levels around the world, I have a bit more confidence and I don't have that worry. I think the biggest worry is on Egypt's side because if they give up a goal in this first leg, there's so much pressure on them to deliver. Yes, anger, revenge, those are things that carry you in that first 30-minute spell. But the longer this game goes nil-nil, all of Cairo, all of Egypt are going to be very nervy.
I agree with Mike because, listen, Egypt, they traditionally don't qualify for World Cups. They know this and themselves. The fans know it, too. I mean, outside of 2018, the last time they qualified for World Cup was 1990. So they'll beat everybody up on the continental side. And then when it comes to, like, the actual World Cup, they don't qualify. I think now Senegal's got a taste of winning. They're like, we want this and we want to continue this. So I think Senegal, to me, they're favorites. So that's just kind of how I see it. It's just like, hey, we know we beat you before. Now try and beat us. So that's kind of what I see with Senegal.
Yeah, there's a 2-2 here situation because I'm more with Meyer. I think being in Cairo, I think Egypt kind of re-energizing themselves and learning the mistakes from the final might help them. But good point, it's Senegal. They're so talented all over and they know what to expect. Let's go to predictions here. Let's go back to you, Meyer. What do you see here? Come on, be gutsy now. What do you see in this game?
Yeah, I think Egypt are going to have just about enough to pull this off. Either way, it's going to be tight, but I think it's just going to be one goal in it. I think Egypt, with the Cairo International Stadium, might just have the advantage.
I hear that, and I'm going for a draw. I know I didn't bring my gutsy pants on today. I'm going for a draw.
You're wearing pants, though, Michael, right? I just want to make sure.
Hey, you know what, Dez? Keep the camera up. Keep the camera up. Please, please. This is a family show. No, I'm going for a 1-1 draw. I think Egypt get the goal, but Senegal, they just have too much quality in the attacking third. I think the hangover will show itself in the first half, especially that first 30 minutes, but 1-1 Senegal, and who knew, Mane will probably get the goal, or Sarr, Ismaïla Sarr. He was another standout from AFCON.
Tosin?
Just going to go bold and say Senegal's going to win in general. Both legs, they're going to win, and it just is what it is. If Egypt wins, then I won't be shocked, but I'm really going to go for Senegal to win. They're going to go to the World Cup this year. So,
all right. Well, I'm going to go with an Egypt win just to make it nice and balanced. So let's keep it. But let's keep it moving, everybody. Cameroon against Algeria. Rigobert Song, by the way. Oh, the great Rigobert Song. So good to see him. As he takes the reins for the Indomitable Lions after Antonio Conceicao, basically done after the disappointment that was AFCON, of course. From Algeria's perspective, some interesting omissions there. Saïd Benrahma from West Ham is not there. Bagdad Bounedjah as well, not there. So I'm intrigued. Obviously, you know what? Actually, Meyer, I'll come to you in a second. Obviously, Algeria is a massive story here. But as I'm looking at back at Algeria's performance, which was obviously disappointing in the tournament, Michael, it wasn't as bad in terms of what I was seeing on the pitch as I thought originally. How do you see them facing this Cameroon side that looks, ready to take some action?
I think going into AFCON, what Algeria had on their side that they just succumbed to in the end was winning AFCON, but then expecting everyone to just roll over and give the games to him. And I'm looking at you, Sierra Leone. Thank you for making me proud to be Sierra Leonean and putting them. Yep, my dog agrees too.
Yeah.
But I think now that they've gotten that out of their system, they will be highly motivated because the key players for them did not step up. Riyad Mahrez, we know he's their talisman, but Slimani, he's been active in this World Cup, leading all goal scorers with 7 goals. He was pedestrian, and I'm shocked at the Benrahma omission because he's a player in form for West Ham, doing it in England and in Europe. So that might be something that comes to bite them back in the backside. But so far, I like what I'm seeing from Algeria in terms of they've got this out of their system, and they will be highly motivated.
I agree with Mike. I think Algeria kind of got a punch in the face, and like it's like, well, okay, well, we are mortal. So for them, they want to bounce back. But I look at it like this, like Cameroon also has 2 of their legends in charge. Eto'o, the top goal scorer of all time, is part of the team. Rigobert Song, the most caps appearances there. So it's like, you don't want to disappoint your uncles effectively. you don't want to disappoint your uncles. And the worst part for Cameroon, though, and I think Algeria will take advantage of this, is Anguissa is out. And we all know how good Anguissa is. We've seen it in Serie A. We've seen it at AFCON. So that's a big blow for them to miss Anguissa. So, yeah.
Yeah. Like the two mentioned, bringing Rigobert Song was a gamble. And Samuel Eto'o pushed to bring in Rigobert Song. The sports minister, Narcisse Moukoumbi, actually was fighting back against it. And Samuel Eto'o went to the president of the republic. He went to the president of Cameroon, Paul Biya, to get this coaching appointment in. So he's sort of putting his neck on the line. And Rigobert Song has some coaching experience with the Cameroon Olympic team. It wasn't great. So I think this is going to be a little bit of a gamble on their part. And as Tosin mentioned, they don't have Nkisa. They also are missing their winger, Mumin Gamalo, who started all the matches for them, except for that third place match where they rested some of their starters in Cameroon. For Algeria, all the journalists were asking the coach and the players, you know, are you guys superstitious? Because you're going back to Douala, where basically Algeria had lost two and drawn one. Yeah. So are you superstitious? Riyad Mahrez says, I don't care about Jepoma Stadium. The coach said, we weren't traumatized by Jepoma Stadium in Douala. We were traumatized by the state of the pitch in Jepoma Stadium in Douala. So Algeria going in with like a siege mentality, they know they have to get a decent result. If they can bring back, even like a one goal loss or a draw from Cameroon back to Algeria, where they're going to be playing in Blida, where they haven't lost in more than 40 matches in the stadium in Blida, a record that goes back to 2004, I think they'll be fairly confident. So I think Algeria again squeaks through, but it's going to be very tight, 51-49, 50-50, something like that.
Very quickly, back to you, Mara, just very quickly. What went wrong for Algeria at AFCON, and what's going to be the difference in this situation? Because, you know, to everybody's point, Tosin said it, Michael said it, Cameroon also have a lot at stake, that, you know, and they're going for a record-extending eighth appearance at the World Cup. They want this. They want this badly. So what went wrong for Algeria at the tournament? How can it be fixed this time around?
A lot of different things went wrong, and Algeria complained about everything. And the excuses are never valid, but like they complained about the state of the pitch, the humidity, and the fact that they had arrived in Cameroon so late, just a few days before the tournament started, because of the COVID protocols, and the fact that European clubs were not letting the players go until very late. But those are conditions that everybody had to deal with. It wasn't solely the Algerian national team. There were other elements of disorganization. Riyad Mahrez was given a three-day holiday before joining the team, where he went to the UAE and got married to Taylor Ward. And that was a huge controversy in Algeria, instead of joining up with his teammates. So there was seen a little bit of a lack of organization, a little bit of a lack of discipline, the exact opposite of what happened in 2019. Mm. Coach seems to think he has things straightened out now. We'll see.
I don't know. I just feel if I'm going to make a prediction, I'm going to be bold. I think Cameroon is going to win. I know Maya doesn't want me to say that, but
no.
I just like I said, like we all know what it's like to disappoint your uncles, and like for them, like you're gonna be playing in front of Ricky.
It's such a South American thing, too, by the way. Like, yeah, your steals, you don't want to get them upset, and it's the same thing in Africa, I guess. You don't want to disappoint them. And the uncle, the other one, is only 45 years old, so he's still energetic enough to really be angry.
And we all know who Cameroon's president is. I'm not going to go into too much, yeah. But we all know who he is, and you don't want to disappoint that guy. So. And I'm going to go for Cameroon win.
Des Norris is saying we should get your uncles on the show next time, Tosin.
Get my dad. That was perfect for you guys want to see a real, go get my dad.
I'm down. Michael, final thoughts on this game as Cameroon and Algeria face each other.
It's twofold. Regarding Cameroon, I think they have so much talent, and Nkisa will be a big loss. But Karl Toko Ekambi, he was a standout from AFCON, and he's a player that doesn't get enough love. I don't think he gets enough love for what he does for Lyon this season, and I don't think he gets enough love for what he does for Cameroon, because Vincent Aboubakar has shown very brightly for them as late. But their weakest link is their goalkeeper, Onana, who was involved in a horrific car crash a couple days ago. So hopefully he'll continue to be okay. But if he plays, Onana has been, he just seems distracted with what's going on at the club level with Ajax, Inter. Will he stay? Will he go? And I think that's really having an impact. Onana's weakness is coming out for crosses. It cost Ajax the Champions League against Benfica, and I think that will have a part to play. Predictions, I think Cameroon will win 2-1, and Onana will be part of the headlines with giving up a goal or being at cost for something. And like I said, my dogs do agree again.
This is an intriguing one. It's very tough. Meyer, what do you think? I'm leaning towards Algeria if they keep it tight in the very beginning. How do you see it?
Yeah, same as you. Honestly, this one is so tight. It's 50-50, 51-49. Either way, it's going to be determined by the little details, who's going to make a mistake, who's going to be able to keep their concentration throughout the entire 180 minutes. So I think for me, like you guys say, it's a very thin line. Because I'm Algerian, I'm going to say Algeria is going to take it through, but I can completely understand anybody that thinks Cameroon's going to qualify.
Yeah, and Tosin, you're sticking with Cameroon. Of course, you can't upset the uncles. That's true. And Michael, you're going with Cameroon as well.
Yeah, I'm going with Cameroon. I think Cameroon will have just a little bit more quality, and they have momentum on their side coming from AFCON and more players in form. And I do think Onana will make it interesting with some blunder of sorts.
Yeah, well, there will be a record eighth time appearance at the World Cup for Cameroon if it's to be the case. We're going to take a break because Tosin McKinley needs to do some push-up, because we're going to talk about Nigeria next, of course, as they face Ghana as well. It's going to be quite a derby, I think. Woo, 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 baby. Africa World Cup qualifiers. Tosin McKinley, Michael Ahud, Maher Masahi, LME. We'll be right back.
Did you know that while over 60% of Americans dream of starting their own business, less than 20% of them take the first step? The reason? Building a business is tough. Taylor Brands is simplifying the business journey. From launching and managing to growing your business, Taylor Brands isn't just another tool. It's your online business partner from launch to success. With Taylor Brands, building your dream business becomes an effortless experience. Their comprehensive platform guides you through every step, ensuring you have everything you need in one place. From LLC formation to bookkeeping, invoicing to acquiring licenses and permits, and even setting up your bank account, Taylor Brands handles it all seamlessly. And our listeners will receive 35% off Taylor Brands LLC formation plans using our link, taylorbrands.com/CBS Sports. That's TAILORBRANDS.com/CBS Sports. So start your business journey today with Taylor Brands.
Imagine sleeping in the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's iconic sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. So start getting your best night's sleep in sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. And you can try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee plus 15% off your first order with code Odyssey. So head to BOLL&Branch.com today. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back, everybody. This is the Africa World Cup qualifiers. Some real tasty matchups here with Tosin McKinley, Michael Lahoud, Maher Masahi. Let's go, Tosin McKinley, to your Nigerians as they face Ghana. By the way, the last eight meetings in this game, 4 draws, 2 wins apiece. But there's some good news for Nigeria, this talented Nigerian side who looked so hot at the beginning of Africa Cup of Nations. But now they have Ighalo, Victor Osimhen, Emmanuel Dennis, all returning. Ooh, baby. I'm excited. I know you're nervous, Tosin. Talk to me. Yeah.
So the reason why I wore this jersey is because this is what we wore AFCON, and I also have this one as well, just to show everybody.
That's a beauty. Look at that. My hero, JJ Okocha, man. So good they named him twice, baby.
I'm cautiously excited. The more I watch our team, like we're starting to like finally fill out pieces. Calvin Bassey, who I think is actually the most underrated one that we called up. Calvin Bassey plays for Rangers. Super, super talented kid. But to have Osimhen back, he's in form. He scored 4 goals in his last 2 games for Napoli. Emmanuel Dennis, we've seen what he's doing in the Premier League. Moses Simons, he actually was – what he's been doing to – teams in France is just insane. So I'm excited about our front three. It's just, again, like I say all the time, our midfield is bad. Ndidi's out. We did call up Innocent Bunke, who plays in Ligue 1. So I'm cautiously optimistic. I feel, you know, with Ghana, we can't predict this. Like, there's no stats. This is just straight up just...
Just vibes, man.
Yeah.
We don't just like vibes and chaos.
Yeah. Love, rice, chaos, and vibes. That's all it is. That's all that is.
Well, you can throw plantains and fufu in there, because this is the fufu cup.
Of course.
You know, between these two teams.
Pounded jam, all of that. Moi moi, all of it. It's all there. We all basically...
Jollof.
Well, I think Ghana is going to need a heavy plate of jollof, because I'm worried about this Ghanaian team. They have internal turmoil. They did get a new manager in Ato Addo. So new managers can often breathe new life and bring the team together. But they're missing a big piece up top. Who's going to score their goals? One of the Ayew brothers will not be participating in this, in the big doubt. And for Nigeria, the question mark I have is, how are you going to fit all these attacking players in? Osimhen, I agree with you, is their biggest piece. He is a talent, and I don't expect him to be playing in Serie A much longer, whether it be, at least for the team he plays for, Napoli. I think he's going to get a big move, whether it's to stay in Serie A with one of the bigger clubs or abroad somewhere else. And he's going to be the big focal point. But, oh, man, this Ghanaian team, just too much going against them right now, too many distractions.
Yeah. Osimhen is also a focal point for me too. I've watched a lot of him since the AFCON finished. And what impresses me most about him when he plays for Napoli is how hungry he is to score, how angry he gets at his teammates, you know, if they mess something up. I love that kind of attitude that he has. And I think that kind of drive, that ambition is really going to spur Nigeria forward. But if Nigeria are lacking in midfield, I think that's where Ghana has to win this tie. Thomas Partey, since the AFCON, exceptional for Arsenal. And they're also going to be returning Mohamed Kudus from Ajax, who's going to have a very, very big role to play in this tie. So I think if Ghana are to beat Nigeria, who for me are miles better on paper and also aren't dealing with as much dysfunction, they're going to have to do it in midfield.
Yeah, there's so much dysfunction in this game because, first of all, the roster for Ghana wasn't announced until, like, I don't know, like 5 minutes before the game.
Nine games.
Right. The venue had to be approved by FIFA like a week before the match itself. There's just so many things. You mentioned, of course, Michael, as well, about the fact that Andre Ayew as well is suspended. This is – everything is pointing, Tosin, to a Nigeria – win, but when we say that, Tosin McKinney, I feel Nigerians get even more nervous. Dare I say you give me a prediction?
Yeah, of course. We're going to be Ghana. I'm not going to say we're going to be Ghana. Come on now. We're going to beat them in both legs.
There you go.
We're going to Kumasi to beat them. We're going to take them to Abuja and beat them again. So I'm never not going to back Nigeria. The one thing that I do love that Nigeria has done is bring Emmanuel Moneke, one of our legendary players, scored twice in 94 World Cup and scored twice in the AFCON final as well. So he's the more tactical mind. Elgrove wants the vibes and Monique is the tactical guy. And the thing is, he's actually coached Osimhen and he coached Chukwueze. So he has a good rapport with like some of our core players. So I'm excited. Like I'm very, very excited for this.
Tosin, I wish I could go and hit a direct flight here from America straight to Lagos and visit the local shaman to just put that good juju for Nigeria to go through. But I've just seen time and time again, Nigeria, when the pressure gets too hot, something goes awry on paper. They should steamroll this Ghanaian team. And I'm sorry, man. I know we did Nigerian spams before Nigerian scams. I'm gonna surprise some people. I'm going Ghana.
Wow, you're gonna do Tosin like that. Wow,
I know, man. I'm sorry.
When we win, I'll find you. Don't worry.
please leave me, my family, my unborn kids out of this on Twitter.
And your dog.
I know how savage. No, but I'm going Ghana. It just TIA, man. This is Africa. Whatever can happen will happen, especially in the World Cup playoffs.
Yeah, and Kumasi is, you know, they had a similar format for the 2014 World Cup qualifying, and Ghana there smacked Egypt 6-1. So, Ghana feels very comfortable in that venue at home. I don't expect them scoring six goals here, especially without the Ayew brothers. So I'm also going to go with – I'm going to go with Tosin. Fly, Super Eagles, fly. They're better on paper, less dysfunction. That home return leg, playing at home in the return leg, I think is going to be a big, big advantage in many of these ties. And so I think Nigeria goes through.
Yeah, just keep it respectable in that first leg. Absolutely. All right. Well, let's move on here and let's talk about Mali against Tunisia. We know how talented this Mali side is and history awaits for them, really, as they look to upset Tunisia and reach the World Cup. It's unbelievable. But, you know, they return home, after playing World Cup qualifying home games in Morocco. So that's good for them. So they're looking for their first World Cup appearance despite recent successes at youth level. Back-to-back AFCON under-17 wins, runners-up in the under-17 World Cup. Third place finish at under-20 World Cup. It's pretty good. And for Tunisia, they have a new manager in Jalal Kadri. So let's go with you, Mara. How do you see this game? We know the Mali talent is plentiful, but the Tunisian experience is also something that can be disregarded. How do you see this one?
That's the nail on the head right there, honestly. Mali, anybody can tell you, they have a litany of central midfielders. So many good central midfielders. And they added another one. They went and they recruited Everton's Abdoulaye Doucouré, who's going to be making his debut for Mali this time around. So I don't know how many central midfielders they can play with, maybe like a 3-6-1 or, I don't know, a 2-7-1 or something. But that midfield battle is one to watch because even Tunisia, they have Elias Khiri. He's FC Cologne's best midfielder, really. He's their captain over there in Germany. He's a very, very good Tunisian. And their midfield is quite good as well. So it's going to be another good midfield battle. As you mentioned, bringing in a new coach after the AFCON, that was very controversial because you only have a month and a half to prepare. This is the former assistant coach. So he was at the AFCON, so he knows the group well. Yeah. He knows the players well.
He knows the system. Yeah.
Exactly. You can expect some kind of continuity. That said, here I feel like Mali are a little bit stronger, and they're actually – I'm going to bring a little bit of politics into this. They're surfing on very high patriotic sentiment at home under this new military, let's call it a regime or authorities or whatever the case may be. A lot of patriotic sentiment. They have a newly renovated March 26 stadium in Bamako, and they're playing a little bit of mind games as well. They didn't let the Tunisians visit this new stadium to inspect the pitch and inspect the venue until today. So I think Mali are going to pip this one, but it's going to be tight as well.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Mali as well. You know, adding Decore to that midfield is just silly. Like, I mean, you already seen the players they have, and we've seen what Decore does. So, you know, I'm a big fan of Hannibal Medjugorje. That's my guy for Tunisia, and I really want him to go to World Cup. But listen, that Mali team, it's about time. This is a team that had Frederick Kanute. They had so many talented players. There's never been to a World Cup, and it would be so nice to see Mali in a World Cup finally. So
yeah, Isbi Suma, Hedaira, of course, Amasuku, Mohamed Kamara. It's just plentiful. How do you see this one, ML?
I'm going to continue the Malian tidal wave and keep it going strong. Mali should win this game. I think they will win this game. And a player who's a wild card, had a strong start to the season, is Adama Traore. He's winger plying his trade in Moldova. Who knew Moldova emerging is one of the soccer gems, with Sheriff making their Champions League bow and doing well and representing themselves well on the club level. But Kone, if he's to do it, he needs more support from the midfield. Yes, they have a lot of central midfielders. They're going to have to step up big time. Wingers, central midfielders are going to have to step up big time to support a good target striker in Kone. I like to sometimes go with experience, but the time is now. And Tunisia, they've had a good run, continuity, good group that stuck together. But I like Mali in this one.
And they know what's up. I mean, Mali has won. They won all three group games in Morocco, not even at the country, with a goal differential of 7-0. Like, they know what's up. And now that they're home, it should be enough. So I agree. All of us are going with Mali here. Anything to add? Yeah. Go ahead, Mar.
Very quickly, they beat Tunisia at the last African Cup of Nations 1-0, and they were dominating it there. So yeah.
Yep. Everything points, which means obviously chaos ensues and we'll all be wrong. All right, let's move to one that a lot of us here are very excited about, by the way, DR Congo against Morocco. And, you know, the hosts looking to end quite a drought here. The last time they were at the World Cup was 1974. They were Zaire back then, of course. It wasn't a great campaign, but they made it nonetheless. And now they're looking to make it. They breezed through the qualifiers, by the way, 18 points from 18, but all their games were played at home. But they have an Argentinian manager, an Hector Cooper, continuing that trend of good Argentinian managers taking care of teams that need it, a.k.a. Peru. All right, so let's talk about this game as DR Congo host Morocco. Quite a good one here. Let's go with you, Tosin, because I know that me and you were talking about how cool it would be to see them at the World Cup.
Yeah, so fun fact, the last time that DR Congo qualified for a World Cup, Muhammad Ali was fighting the rumble in the jungle. So
amazing. Yeah.
If you don't know how old that's been, but I'm a big fan of this Congolese team. They have some good players that I like. Masuaku's there, Gail Kakuta's there, Wissa from Brentford is there, Cedric Bakambuzo, Yannick Bolasie as well. So they got a lot of talent. I mean,
oh, Yannick Bolasie.
Yeah. So for me, I just feel they're gonna shock. Morocco. Morocco right now have a little bit of trouble in their camp. I mean, Hakim Ziyech retired. Mazraoui was like, nah, I'm not coming up. And them and their coach are kind of having beef. And then it doesn't help that their best player, their right back, is also having issues with PSG. Apparently, he wants to leave PSG. So I don't know. It's looking a bit sticky for Morocco. I mean, so I feel if the time is right, the time right now is for Congo to strike hot. I mean, listen, you guys got it. So, I mean, you know, I'm backing Congo. I know it sounds insane to say that, but hey, listen, I'm going to back DR Congo. That's going to be my team win and shot, make a big shot. So
flow like a butterfly, sting like a bee. You got to do it.
Yeah, Congo are a weird one because they're the only team that didn't qualify for the AFCON out of these 10 teams.
Right.
So we don't really have a great handle on who they are, really, because we didn't really get to watch them a month and a half ago. That said, Hector Cooper, when he was the coach of Egypt, was criticized for a horrible defensive style. And I really hope he doesn't drag that into the Congolese national team because they have really good strikers like Tosin mentioned, Cedric Bakambu, Dieumercie Mbokani, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, Tosin is also right to mention that Morocco's coach is skating on thin ice. The fact that he's beefing with Hakim Ziyech and Nusair Mazraoui from Ajax, Moroccan fans are not happy, especially after the premature exit at the African Cup of Nations. If he loses, he knows he's out. His job is on the line. He said in Morocco that they're going to have to score a goal away from home in Kinshasa. That's going to be tough. If they can do that, I think Morocco will be able to win this. But going and playing in Kinshasa in that stadium that they call the Stade des Martyrs, the Martyr Stadium, is so difficult. And there's just like, you know, in this home and away format, there's always these home field advantages. Morocco were angry that, for example, when they arrived in Kinshasa 2 days ago, there was no delegation to sort of welcome them. Fans could like run up and like snap, you know, pictures of Moroccan players and yell in their faces and tell them, you guys are going to lose 2-0. And that the two buses that they rented out to take them from the airport to the hotel simultaneously broke down suspiciously. These things are going to happen. And it makes going and playing in Congo very, very difficult. So, again, it all depends on that first match. Because I know Morocco are going to have a positive result at home. But if they can score a goal like their coach wants them to in Kinshasa, then they can go through. So I'm slightly leaning towards Morocco.
Mm. So I've played a few matches in Congo. And I love, well, at the time as a player, I did not like the name of that stadium because I can tell you from firsthand what it feels like to be a martyr on that field. Congo, when they play at home, they bring it. The entire country is behind them. And it feels like there's 14 players, not 11, on the field. And those mind games, those luxuries that you're used to as a footballer, when you arrive there, they go out the window. So I'm laughing to myself because I'm having flashbacks of being in Congo and thinking, where's the toilet paper, let alone the running water, let alone all these little things that you take for granted. But in in CAF at this stage in World Cup qualification, if you're arriving to the first match and you're already complaining, those little things that are getting to you, you've already lost. Yeah. There's too much drama going on behind the scenes in your locker room to begin with. And now you're complaining about the bus, complaining about, oh, we don't have, you know, the privacy. People can come up to us. Get out of here, man. Go back to Europe. Go back home. Morocco, you took an L before the game already started. I'm going with Congo.
Yeah, you can't do that in Africa. You cannot lose the game mentally because it's already done physically. Yeah, you got to just show whatever's up. I mean, I
did that to Nigeria today. They had a plane and they didn't have a good. Our players had to literally jump out the plane onto the thing. We know what it is. Man. That's just my thing. And we'll do the same thing to them when it comes to Abuja. So that's
the thing.
It's a tough one. All right. So I guess, let's go around the predictions once more time. I am going to be a romantic here and hope that DR Congo gets it done. Tosin, I believe you're with me. So are you, Michael? Meyer, you were leaning towards Morocco?
Yeah, I think Morocco is going to do it. They just have slightly more quality, in my opinion.
Well, there you have it. It should be quite an interesting one. But that's it. That's all the games. Listen, I'm not kidding when I tell you these games in Africa are so fantastic, thrilling, entertaining, chaotic, et cetera, and it's been an absolute pleasure to have all three, Tosin McKinney, Michael Lahoud, Meyer Mezahi. Final thoughts before we say goodbye. You can go anywhere here as we discuss and wrap up the Africa World Cup qualifiers. Meyer, let's begin with you. Final thoughts, buddy.
I'm just going to make an elevator pitch. For me, after the African Cup of Nations, this is my favorite kind of international football. You have to turn on your TV set and watch these matches because you're two matches away from the World Cup. And for some of these countries, think about the DR Congo that we just spoke about. They haven't been there since 1974, and they have 180 minutes to determine that destiny. So there's so much tension. There's so much drama. Like, there's so much intensity in every single minute of football that is played. So I think, if anything, if you have some time this weekend or on Tuesday morning or afternoon, wherever you are, I would say definitely tune into these matches because they're assured, guaranteed to provide entertainment.
Preach.
What I love and what I'm looking forward to most, who here loves a good telenovela? Everyone should raise their hand. Why?
I'm Peruvian, Michael. It's in my DNA, buddy.
Well, we love it because of the drama And there's going to be more drama than even Yo Mama knows what to do with. No Yo Mama jokes, folks. But the drama of these World Cup qualifying playoffs is why I love this time of year. And there will be drama. I'm predicting and looking forward to some surprise winners going to the World Cup and qualifying through this stage. But you got to play the games. And you know, there's a lot of tradition and a lot of good teams playing against each other. And I like that.
I love it.
Bragging rights. This is all bragging rights. I mean, listen, it's it's so nice to beat your, like, you know, your cross, you know, town rival, or like your big rival, like Nigeria beating Ghana or Ghana beating Nigeria, like just smack talk. So again, like Maya said, listen, I'm not telling you to watch this. I am pleading, watch this. Every one of these games, if you got a dual screen it, you got triple screen it, I got my triple screen going here. Listen, it's gonna be insane. And I'm so excited. And I'm just so happy Vic the Awesome is back. That's like my last thing. Like, seeing Vic back just makes me so happy. And I think for me, Vic the Awesome, when it's all said and done, he's going to be up there with Eto'o as one of the greatest strikers to come out of the country, the continent, excuse me. So that's my final thought.
In the world, my friend. Listen, and here's the thing about my only final thought is I wish more African teams book seats, tickets to the World Cup, because they deserve it. But what a fantastic preview. Tosin McKinney, of course, Michael Ahud, Mayer Misahi. It's been fantastic to have you all. Thank you so much. Thank you, everybody, for being part of this international break. By the way, you go to our YouTube channel, you go to our podcast, wherever you listen to them. We've got CONMEBOL, we've got Africa, we got UEFA, we got you covered. And we wrapped it with some exciting games to watch, as the boys have mentioned. So thank you so much, Tosin. Thank you, brother. Good luck with Nigeria.
Thank you,
Michael. Thank you, brother. I'm sure I'll see you soon, buddy.
Always a pleasure. Cannot wait. I'll have my popcorn ready.
Mayer Misahi, keep up with the great content, my friend. Thank you so much.
Appreciate you guys. Yeah, it was nice talking.
Absolutely. Thank you, everybody. Que Golazo Pod on Twitter, youtube.com/ Que Golazo CBS Sports, or wherever you listen to your podcast as well. I've been LME, Tosin McKinney, Michael Ahud, Mayer Misahi. We'll see you next time. Till then.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast, and I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.